Commiss, hold up. I gotta run this back. Hey, Mike Smith. Boy, you booty Dean, boy. You garbage as hell. Dirt cutter, bro. I promise I won't go and address you, but when you said the whole staff should be fired, including you, boy, you bogalack as hell, boy. I swear to God I wish I had Tim so I could throw one at your goddamn head, bro. Get up out of here, bro. Like, I don't even want that shit around, bro. But back to Mike Smith. Booty Dean, boy, I'm through with y'all.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else. It's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I gave him a face, and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's, and let's do it as a family. Yeah.
Bucks Uncensored, perhaps a podcast where the name of this podcast lives up to its fucking name. You know, there's so many angles to take with the loss on Sunday. But the vibe I got and watching the game with some people or at our watch party, Buffalo Wild Wings, the vibe I get in texting with some people I know and in just checking social media, any platform, is that we all have a pretty good understanding and knowledge of the direction we're heading right now. And I, for one, give credit to the majority of the fan base. Because you, the fans, have shown more balls, have shown more passion, have shown more pride in this team and this area than this defense ever could. You've got 2 fucking weeks to prepare for a fucking opponent you play twice a year with personnel that you coached, that you brought there. You know Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and Mohamed Sanu better than anyone. Yet you have no fucking clue how to defend them. I mean, what kind of fucking dumbass are you? 2 weeks to prepare for the Falcons. Let me ask you, you stick carriers with the mob-like mentality, let me ask you, did you see anything different? The answer is a resounding no. I saw Quan Alexander getting taken advantage of in coverage. I saw no pass rush from the defensive line. I saw guys running free all day long. And I see a defensive coordinator consistently sitting up in the booth and collecting his fucking paycheck that pays him damn near what a head coach makes in the NFL. And quite frankly, it's sick. It makes me sick. It makes you sick. Anytime his face came on the screen at Buffalo Wild Wings, or they talked about his defense with statistics, not just any statistics, statistics of his defense this year nearly giving up 80% completion percentage, comparing that to the worst overall defense of all time. That, and anytime they mention Mike Smith's name, the entire restaurant at Buffalo Wild Wings would turn to booze. We'd start chanting, "Fire Mike Smith." This team this year, I'm not going to say franchise, I'm not going to say organization. This team this year, coming off a bye week, had a chance. The coaches had a chance. The players had a chance to prove something. I got 2 players that proved something on Sunday. And guess what? Neither played fucking defense. Jameis Winston was magnificent in this game. And I'll be honest with you. Anytime I saw criticism of Jameis Winston, I was skeptical. I didn't know how he was going to come back and play. The dude lit it up. I mean, but what about that interception? And he overthrew DeSean Jackson. First off, I thought DeSean Jackson, it almost felt like he was pouting throughout the game. Which, if you don't like Jameis Winston as your quarterback and you want Ryan Fitzpatrick to be your quarterback, then go to another franchise that wants to lose. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to win you fucking games. And I'm tired of being nice about it, and I'm not saying my opinion's right and your opinion's wrong, but fuck, stop with the Fitzpatrick bullshit. He's a mediocre starting quarterback who has hot streaks and then looks god-awful. By the way, a lot of people forget of how fucking awful he looked against the Steelers and how awful he looked against the Bears. He's not the future. He's not the now. He's not a starting quarterback. Jameis Winston is. the now, the future. And damn it, he played extremely well on Sunday. And it's to the point for me, when I see people taking shots, his own fans, by the way, Bucks fans, taking shots at him for what he did on Sunday, I have to now, not that I mean, before you, I want to listen to everyone, okay? Like I always say, nobody's opinion, but I don't understand how you criticize a guy who threw for 400 yards, four touchdowns, with 30 of 41, his two interceptions, one, that was the play to make to Godwin. It just got tipped in the air. Tom Brady throws interceptions. Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers. Quarterbacks are going to throw interceptions. I wouldn't pin that one on Jameis Winston. And the one to DeSean Jackson, I don't know what the fuck happened on that play. But who gives a rat's ass? Four fucking touchdowns, 115 quarterback rating. What the fuck else do you want? It's to the point now where people are going to criticize Jameis Winston for that performance. I have to think there's some tad bit of racism coming through your mind. Because if Ryan Fitzpatrick puts up those statistics, those same people are on their knees sucking his dick. And if you see how big that beard is on his face, I can only imagine how full he is down below. So you motherfuckers are gonna get all that hair all in your teeth. Fuck you. And Peyton Barber, best game I've seen him play. Maybe as a professional in the NFL. I thought Peyton Barber was decisive. He ran hard. He broke tackles. But he has to do that all the time. And here's the difference between Peyton Barber and other running backs. Is that was probably Peyton Barber's game of his life. That is likely as good as you can ever see him play. It's not damning to him. It's not a criticism on him. We all have limitations in life. Okay, not everyone is a gifted athlete. But Peyton Barber played the game of his life. 13 carries, 82 yards, average of 6 yards. I liked it. I liked what he brought. It can be improved. Ronald Jones got some touches in the game. I actually thought he had a little bit of a spark there at the end of the first half. But I have no problem balancing the workload between those two. As long as Jaquizz Rodgers isn't touching the ball on offense. Because to me, that's a lost snap. It's just a lost snap. It's a wasted snap. Godwin was good. Evans. You can see that passion, right? I mean, Evans was showing it. And there's a difference between the passion he showed on Sunday versus what we've seen from him during his immature days in the past. What do you want me to sit here and say? What am I going to say that's going to be any... We're all thinking the same thing. But just like we said before the season... And then they got out to that 2-0 start. Now they've lost three straight. It's a downward spiral that, quite frankly, I don't know if they're going to be able to get out of. And I don't care whether McCoy plays next week, in 3 weeks, or at all the rest of the season. I mean, he got injured. Oh, gosh. Oh, everyone feel bad for McCoy. And the dude doesn't dominate games. He gets paid as if he's a dominant defensive tackle, and he dominates nothing. And the only thing I can point to as a positive in this game defensively, and it happened In the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, McCoy was injured and the defense made a play, and I believe it was Vita Vea at defensive tackle stuffing the run. Now, Matt Bryant came in and kicked a 58-yard field goal. That didn't end the game. The Bucs still had an opportunity. But isn't that ironic that the defense kind of goes unnoticed because they could have easily given up a first down. Falcons could have gone down and got a touchdown. We've seen that song and dance before. But McCoy, the criticism on McCoy is he doesn't make plays in the fourth quarter. And this one, he was not even in there because he was injured. And the defense got to stop. I think we've done an awful job at, I'm not even talking about the front office, I'm talking about us as fans. I think we have done an awful job of identifying the star players and identifying the players that truly matter on our defense. We talk Quan Alexander up like he's a star football player. And I get it. I get it. There are people out there that like Quan Alexander. I like Quan Alexander. I love the player that you all think he is. What I don't like is a big part of the player he actually is. He's not a consistent player. He's not good in coverage. He is a huge liability in coverage. He gets beat often. He gets confused often. He's often looking in the background and gets beat because of that, whether it's a wheel route, whether it's to a tight end. He's a liability. So some people will view him or put him up as if he's a star. I think the right player that should be in the middle of this defense and hopefully will be in the middle of this defense during the regime of the next defensive coordinator, because there's no fucking way in hell Mike Smith is brought back as defensive coordinator next year. Zero chance. Zero. And Dirk Cutter, you're next. So hold on a second. But the right player, so we talk up Quan Alexander as being the star, but the player that we should be focused on, the right player, I believe, in the middle of this defense is the guy who's been out after being in a car accident, and that's Kendall Beckwith. He was in the middle early on last year. And when Kendall Beckwith, even as a rookie in his first few games, was in the middle of this defense, there is a different type of toughness and stability Beckwith brings to the middle of this defense than Quan Alexander does. Listen, Quan Alexander can work on his speed and his athleticism and the lie Tyrilla. And listen, I'm all for impact plays and splash plays. There's too much of a lack of consistency there in the middle. And he's too much of a liability in covering tight ends and running backs. It's too much. And he's being exploited week after week after week. Nobody wants to talk about it because he's such a popular player. But maybe the long-term solution, and I hate saying this because I really like Lavonte David. I think he has been misused for years. The only person that used Lavonte David right was Bill Sheridan and Greg Schiano when they would blitz the fuck out of him and he would get to opposing quarterbacks. He has been misused ever since then, but he might be 30 or over 30 now. At the very least, he's very close to 30. Maybe the long-term answer is seeing if you can move Lavonte David somewhere else for a draft pick. Move Quan on the outside because he is young. And have Kendall Beckwith in the middle. a more physical presence in the middle of your defense. But Quan Alexander's been a disappointment this year. Grimes, this is his last year. I wouldn't say he is a disappointment, but it's there comes a time. I mean, Levante David's making $10 million a year. McCoy's making $12 million. Grimes is making $7 this year. I mean, you're talking about almost $30 million in those three players alone. Which kind of goes back to that Ali Marpet. Oh my God, they signed Ali Marpet. How did they do that? How did they spend money? Remember all the people that were so concerned that they were going to resign all their players? They're going to resign all the players they want to resign. No reason to get concerned about that. But we hype up Quan Alexander. Beckwith should probably be the guy that we're focused on. You know, we talk up Gerald McCoy, but you know, they need Jason Pierre-Paul to be more of a dominant force than Gerald McCoy. And Jason Pierre-Paul got another sack today. But we don't want to put him on a pedestal. We want to hype up the Gerald McCoy. You know, Gerald McCoy and Quan Alexander, who were dancing on the sidelines during the second half when they were down by 8 still. You know, those two leaders on defense, dancing and laughing and having a good time. But Quan Alexander, you know, he couldn't talk after the game. He was so mad after the game that he couldn't talk. But damn it, if you'd have caught him when the Bucks were down by 8 on the sideline, he'd have talked your ear off. He'd have been dancing up on you. They were having a good old time. Hey, Sunday fun day is what I say. Sunday fun day. That's what it is for this team. It's always been about having fun. This team's not about bringing Nasty back. The only thing they brought back on defense is more pussy play. They're bringing pussy back on defense. And I'm tired of it. We want a blue-collar mentality. We want an attack Nasty mentality. And if these players aren't going to do it, Jason Light, get rid of them. And if this coach isn't going to coach that way, get rid of them. I don't care if you do it now. I don't care when you do it. But until you do it, we're all going to sit back and we're going to watch. Because the definition of insanity, what have I said on this podcast, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. What in the fuck do you think Mike Smith has been doing for the last 2.5 fucking years? The same fucking thing, and they get worse and worse and worse. Unacceptable. As for the offense, Jameis Winston was great. Peyton Barber was great. The weapons were great. The protection was great. I thought the offense played well enough to win. Here's the problem. As an offense and as a quarterback, and it's going to fall on Jameis, and it's going to lead to these haters that are probably have some racist bone in their body to attack him because, oh, well, Jameis isn't winning as the quarterback. Fuck you. With this team, in this offense, the only way Fitzpatrick won games was he had to be damn near perfect. Who in the absolute fuck can be perfect week after week? Jameis Winston was as close to perfect as he could be on Sunday. And they still lost by 5. It's only happened one other time in history. I think teams are like 51-1-1. Now 51-2-1 in NFL history. When a team, an offense, rushes for 100 yards, throws for something around 375 or 400, throws for 4 touchdowns, and loses the game. Those teams that had those stats were 51-1-1. And the Bucs found a way to lose, not because of their offense, because of their defense. Their offense had to be perfect. And they were slightly not perfect. And as for the last play of the game, what are they doing? Oh, they look like the Bad News Bears. Say what you want about Dirk Koetter, and I do think Dirk Koetter is on an extremely hot,
hot seat right now. It is on fire. Especially if he is going to stand up there and tickle Mike Smith's balls while he's talking at his press conference. Yeah, you're going to be on the hot seat. You're defending your friend who is the worst defensive coordinator in football right now. The absolute worst. But Dirk Cutter's play call at the end of the game, I thought was ridiculous at first. And then I was like, this is fucking brilliant. I never saw that coming. As Jameis Winston got through the line, he damn near got all the way down to between the 5 and 10 yard line. If he makes a good throw, there's a chance Humphreys gets in. Instead, that's when it was like, oh, just the bad news bears. But my God, if Humphreys catches it, he might get in. And then somehow, magically, Mike Evans gets it to DeSean Jackson, but he's already fucking pouting on the sideline, misses the fucking ball, and the game was over. If DeSean Jackson picks it up, he's into the end zone in a miraculous win. And we're still talking about the defense sucking, but we're talking about getting a win and then coming home for the Browns. Now you're 2-3. Going up against the Browns, Browns got throttled on Sunday to the Chargers, but they are not as bad as that game lets on. And I want the Bucs to win. I want them to get to 3-3. I want them to keep this season alive. But as I said to start the podcast, we've all seen this before and we all kind of know what to expect, and we just don't really want to be the first ones to say it. We let all the, you know, you've seen them all on Facebook and social media jump to the conclusion. But we kind of see their posts and we're like, yeah, we kind of know that's where it's heading. Ugh. Not even. Let's do this. Challenge to the Bucs organization. Who's with me on this? Challenge to the Bucs organization. Let's keep this season afloat until we hit November at the very least. Can the Buccaneers keep this season alive before we get to November? Now, what does that mean, keep it alive? Well, you just don't want to be completely out of it. If they lose to the Browns and they're 2-4, most likely they're out of it. They're not officially out of it now. But my concern heading into this game, when I talked about it being so important for both franchises, was more of the mindset. What are these Bucs players? What mindset are they going to have? Maybe it's the same mindset McCoy and Quan Alexander have had for years now. Sunday fun day. Here's who the Bucs have left before we get to November 4th against the Panthers. Browns at home, Bengals on the road. The Bucs are 2-3. I think if they are 3-4, they could still be alive based on who they play on their schedule the rest of the year. A lot of division games, opportunities. Now, people look at it and say, oh, their schedule's so hard. They're definitely done. Okay, that's fine. I look at it and say, all right, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 conference games out of the last 9. And of those 8, you have 4. So half of your games remaining starting in November are division games. Those are opportunities. Whether you like it or not, those are opportunities. They beat the Saints on the road, and they came close to beating the Falcons on the road. You hope they can put up better performances at home. But I think if they want to stay in this, and maybe I'm being too liberal here, 3-4. They might need to be 4-3. But I'm going to say 3-4. I'm going to give it to them. So can the Buccaneers split the Ohio duo They just need one win against the Browns or Bengals. If they don't beat the Browns or Bengals, and they are sitting at the beginning of November at 2-5, Dirk Cutter and his entire staff will be fired at the end of the year. It's my prediction. Right? I mean, 2-5? Pretty much the only way you get back into the season again after another slow start is like a 5-game win streak. Probably not going to be enough. And like I said, the stick carriers, that mob-like mentality, like a Bucks mob. Oh, which is exactly what we are. You think they'll turn on how this team is being run? They might already be turning on how this team is run. I'm not going to jump to that conclusion yet because we've got a lot of season left. But as each loss piles up, we all know what inevitably could happen if these losses continue. Not just to coaching staff, but to front office and players alike. It was a fork in the road. It was the game that was going to put one team back on track and the other team deeper into a downward spiral. The Bucks lost that game. Their defense is atrocious. Their offense is exciting. Yet here we sit, another season, just hoping to play relevant games in November. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Well, the Bucks are 2-3 now, which means it's the perfect time to run out to your local liquor store, get yourself a 12-pack of some Cigar City Brewing beer. Whether you like the Invasion, the Florida Cracker, or my personal favorite, the so tasty and so illustrious Cigar City High Lie. Get your flavor and get your drink on. Cigar City has been a mainstay in the Tampa Bay area for years and years and years, whether you're going to their tasting room or just to your local liquor store. Anytime I'm out, you'll see me with a Cigar City High Lie. And I had a few of them during the Bucks loss on Sunday. Hey, thanks to Zach and Outlaw for buying me a couple of High Lies on Sunday. And maybe you can come out and drink some High Lies with us at our next Cigar City Bucks Uncensored watch party coming up when the Bucks go to Carolina against the Panthers. We'll be at the Buffalo Wild Wings out in Brandon for the Cigar City Bucks Uncensored watch party. It's a blast. Look forward to seeing all of you there. And make sure that you are doing exactly what I'm doing this weekend and every weekend, and that is making sure your refrigerator is fully stocked with some Cigar City beer.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm here watching the Bucks game, about 6 minutes left of the fourth quarter. I'm on the 10th floor out here in the hotel in Orlando. I just want to dive, and I just want to say bye to my family, all the fans. About to dive off this balcony.
Bucks Uncensored.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in. And if you do not want to see me again, I would understand.
All right, it's Bucks Uncensored. Time for some Bucks takes. You know they're going to be pretty hot, pretty animated, pretty passionate. But as I always say, the only reason you have these opinions is one reason and one reason alone. And I hope this is the reason. You want them to win. When I give you an opinion, it's not because I want to sound smart or be smart or have my opinion be right. I just want my team to win. I can't be more genuine than that. I cannot tell it to you any plainer than that. So without further ado, you've heard what I've had to say. I want to hear what you have to say. If you weren't able to get in your Bucks take for this podcast, we got another one coming your way on Wednesday. Unload. Like, what are your... Here's what I would... I'm curious for the entire fan base, okay? I'd like to get a nice sample size. Your thoughts on the rest of the season. 2-3, lost by 5 on the road to a divisional rival. Okay, could be worse. Now that divisional rival was at 1 win on the year. But are we okay? We're coming home for the Browns. We can get back to 500. Or do you feel like this is the end? And you're already thinking about who the next coach is going to be. Who the next defensive coordinator is going to be. What type of offense this organization needs with these weapons. What type of defense? Is it finally time to look at a 3-4 or a more attacking defense? Quite frankly, there's not much difference between Lovie and Mike Smith and the styles of defense they run. Maybe, we should look at the mindset and the style that they've been running. But who am I to talk?
Oh, wow, guys, the game is over. Did you guys have fun? That's all it matters. Sundays are about having fun. It's not about winning or losing. Leave that to all those hysterical Bucks fans. You guys have fun today, right? I mean, you all should get participation stars because you gave it all your effort. 110%. Gerald McCoy, you had one tackle. Beautiful effort, man. Quan Alexander, you had a tackle for our loss. That was a beautiful tackle. Will Colston, you had a hands to the face today. It was great. But doesn't matter because you were all dancing when your team was losing 24-16 because that is all that matters. You having fun on Sundays. Jesus Christ, Justin, I'm so pissed. Typical Bucks performance. Stop me if you've heard this before. Turnovers from our offense. Can't get the deep ball going. Defense gave up the booty so fast. Matt Ryan didn't have time to put on a rubber. Our kicker missed an extra point, and we lost the game on Sunday. Stop me if you've heard this before, but it's driving me insane that our 2-0 start has just vanished. We are now 2 games behind the Saints. But guess what? It's a Bucks life, and I would personally like to thank the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for trying it all today. Mike Smith, you were a good boy today. You should get a cookie or a popsicle. Just go in the basement, and there's someone who can give it to you there, probably a chocolate popsicle. Because it's all about effort. No accountability in this team. As always, it's a Bucks life.
Oh, Javier. Yay, yay, yay. By the way, did anyone else think Javier sounded a little like Andy Kaufman to start his take? Just hit that rewind button, that 15-second rewind button, about 4 or 5 times. You'll get to the beginning, and you'll be able to hear good old Andy Kaufman on there. Thanks, Javier. I know you're as frustrated as I am. But Eric is also frustrated, right, Eric?
I refuse to watch another Buccaneer game as long as Mike Smith is the defensive coordinator and making calls. It's fucking ridiculous. I mean, guys standing around looking at each other, the whole fucking... the shit like that shouldn't be happening. It's bullshit. I'm just fucking sick of it. If these owners weren't fucking cuckolds and had balls about themselves, they would step in and make a fucking move. Bullshit. Fuck this team, fuck this organization until they make the shit right.
Well, you know, I can't blame your thoughts. I can't blame you. But what can we do as fans? Can we put together a boycott of this team? Can we not show up to games? Nobody's fucking showing up to games. I feel like I'm sitting there by myself anyway. So what are we supposed to do to get the attention of the organization? Picket outside One Buck Place, the Bucks mob with their torches. No, not going to change anything. But they keep going out and performing the way they've been performing, they'll continue embarrassing themselves. Eventually, they'll have to make a change, right?
Justin, it's Kevin sitting here with my beautiful wife. And she suggested that I wait a second before I send in my Bucks take. Baby, how you feeling now that we've waited?
I still feel bad.
She still feels bad. She didn't feel good afterwards. She still feels bad. We're both angry about it. And that's a bitter, angry loss because they moved the ball up and down the fucking field on those motherfuckers. I mean, they were pushing them around. They could not stop them. And it's just, I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's experience. I don't know what. I do think it's coaching. You're absolutely right. I do think it's coaching. I don't know what to say.
Except why did Dirk Cutter take all those timeouts?
Wouldn't one of those timeouts have been handy dandy during that last drive? Wouldn't that have been really, really helpful? Really? It would have been. But yeah. So I think we're done. We're done, right? We're done with this coaching staff. We wanted to see something new. Hey, they can win me back. I am winnable. Like that game. I am just as winnable as that game. But I think we're done. I love you. Have a good day.
Kevin, we're done? Already? Well, I mean, if they're done already, then it's only just begun. Because if they're truly done at this point, then there will be a new coach. There will be new coordinators. We've gone through all of this before, but it'll make the offseason go by a little bit faster. And just hope that it gives us hope. I'm telling you, the talent is there. And I'm talking about the talent on offense, and I'm talking about the right talent on defense. I'm not talking about McCoy and Quan Alexander and, you know, the stereotypical, oh, they're the name player. No, I'm talking about the true talent on the team. I'm talking about the Godwins, the Evans. I mean, we can see natural talent in Ronald Jones, O.J. Howard, Jameis Winston, Ali Marpet, Donovan Smith, Ryan Jensen, Jason Pierre-Paul, Vinnie Curry, Levante David, Carlton Davis, MJ Stewart. I'm talking talent. There is talent. There is not a mentality, and there is not a structure for which these players fit into properly. I think they finally found it with this spread type offense that they're running. But on defense, I don't think the scheme matches the players. And I don't think the coach mentality matches what these players need to portray on the field. Players take on the mentality of their head coach. I think I've said that since I started in the media back in the early 2000s. I believe that. I believe that from my days of playing football, that you take on the mentality of your head coach. Or the mentality of your coach. Hard to say that the team as a whole is taking on the mentality of their head coach. Offense is aggressive and scoring points. Defense is a bunch of pussies. At least that's the way they're playing. So are they taking on the mentality of their coach on defense?
Justin, T in South Florida. Yeah, the whole time when this game was going on, I was like, I'm going to do a halftime goddamn recording. And to start to fire Mike Smith shit again. I still feel that way. But goddamn, fuck our kicker. This motherfucker misses an extra point about every game, and that shit cost us. And, you know, I went on the Joe Bucks fan website, and I see the people commenting. And regardless, they always try to find a way to blame Jameis Winston. You motherfuckers just hate Jameis Winston. So be it. But the motherfucker kept us in it, despite the fucking turnovers. Like the good quarterbacks don't throw fucking interceptions. He kept going. He kept us in it with his fucking legs. Do you not see that we were able to drive the ball up and down the fucking field? Man, y'all calm that shit down with the fucking hate. He's not going anywhere. He's a fucking quarterback. Chill with that shit, man. Anyway, but yeah, man, that fucking shit is scheme. I mean, goddamn it, you should have had them adjustments in the beginning of the game. Why we gotta wait till fucking halftime? We was already fucking down. Tired of having to come back. We do this shit with Atlanta every year. God damn it, Mike Smith got to go. I'll fucking help you pack, bro. Fuck. Go Bucks.
God, man, it is so much fun when they're winning. People feel good. Energy is good. But when they lose, man, I hate hearing all you guys all down. Because I've heard y'all excited and up. And it's just like, I feel like I'm getting a bunch of voicemails from a bunch of friends, and each one is disappointed for the same reason, but a different reason. It just sucks.
Hey, what's up, Commish? This is Tobias out of Phoenix. A couple of big picture thoughts about this game. I hear all the time about, well, Jameis doesn't have chemistry with D-Jax. You know what I say? Fuck D-Jax. If he doesn't have chemistry with him, fuck him. He wants to sit on the bench and pout? Fuck him. Jameis has chemistry with every other receiver and tight end on that team. Fuck D-Jax. And people want to blame Jameis. Was he perfect? No. And that's the problem. When you throw for 395 yards, 77% completion percentage, over a 110 QB rating of 4 touchdowns, and you still lost, that's a problem, because it is unrealistic for any QB to be perfect every single game for you to win. Ryan Fitzpatrick was perfect those first two games, but they still only won one score games because due to a bad defense, a bad running game. It's a problem when you set the NFL records with all these 400-yard games, but you're still having to hold the team off. Here's the thing. Matt Bryant made a 57-yard field goal with a bad hamstring. The Falcons also marched down the field in 26 seconds to get a field goal before the half. Yes, that second pick by Jameis was a bad pick. It happens. QBs throw picks. Do you want Alex Smith or Tyrod Taylor? That's who you want? They don't throw picks, but they keep getting traded. But, Kamish, man, that's all I have. Alien, one quick question. Cue to Phil Collins.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it.
Crushed it!
Will Jameis Winston get credit for the Bucks clawing back the same way Fitz did against Pittsburgh? Peace.
Oh, shit. Might have a point there. Have not heard one person say, boy, you know, Jameis Winston really stuck with it and brought the Bucks all the way back. Fuck that. You never hear it. You'll hear it by the side. Listen, the problem is a majority of fans aren't going to be as loud as the select few that just hate him. Hate is much louder than good. It just is. You get one or two people that are just hateful and just bitching, they're so much louder than everyone else that that's all you hear. But I promise you, it is such a select few, and you folks are in such the minority, it's laughable.
Justin, what up? It's Jordan and St. Pete.
Shit! Motherfuck! I just don't get it. Help me. Help me figure out why I should be optimistic about this fucking team. I'm not even worried about the way that the defense and offense played in the second half. Why should I be? They put like shit in the first half, and it just sets your team up for failure in the second half. Justin, I mean, there's plays that are left on the field on a consistent fucking basis on offense and on defense. Shit!
I don't know. Speak softly and be soft like that fucking soft-ass fucking defense. Oh, and by the way, I actually like the way that the offense played for the most part, but there was just there's some calls when you get down into certain areas that you shouldn't even run. And second down, I mean, you had Humphreys who can't get to the end zone, which is, I mean, you know, you set yourself up for first and goal essentially. Then you end up misplaying, or you end up running the ball on first down. You get a couple yards, then you get a penalty. Then you have Winston throwing the ball in the middle of the fucking field. I don't know. I can't even speak, all right, because I'm just... And anybody who thinks that actually that DeSean Jackson, even if he got that ball, would have actually made a fucking effort to get to the end zone is delusional. This guy is as soft as they come. Fuck!
2 minutes. Speak softly and be soft on that fucking defense. I'm out.
Oh, boy. Oh, did we just change it? We might have. Hey, thanks to our sponsors. They're the ones that drive the podcast. Without them, there's no podcast. So thank you. Buffalo Wild Wings, where they got their $5 game day specials. We took full advantage of that Sunday. The Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. We're back out for another Bucks Uncensored watch party at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon. That is for that Panthers game. Beginning of November, it's going to be on November 4th. November 4th, Bucks at Panthers, Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon. So stay tuned for that. And then for the Giants game, we will be at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Pinellas Park. $5 game day specials, $5 pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, $5 hamburgers and brats, select cocktails. I want to say Holly had... this wasn't $5, but it was like a pumpkin rum chata martini. Oh, and it was, she goes, this is like fall in my mouth. I go, okay, that's what she said. So anyway, $5 specials. It was phenomenal. Hope you all had a great time. And get the cheese curds with the caramel sauce. Yum. Mm. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports, Mastro Subaru, two locations in Tampa and Orlando. So they're serving the stick carriers, Bucks fans, and you Bucks mob with the utmost joy, because they're giving stick carriers, you Bucks fans, the special discount. All you got to do is go to Mastro Subaru in Tampa or Orlando. Tell them you're a stick carrier. You get special stick carrier pricing. They got one in Orlando, as I said. One's right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans Expressway. When you go by there, they're fans. They listen to Bucks Uncensored. Let them know that you listen to Bucks Uncensored as well. And thanks to Cigar City, the High Life was flowing on Sunday as well. They are the title sponsor of our watch parties at Buffalo Wild Wings. So thanks to Cigar City, the High Life, the Invasion, the Florida Cracker, or any type of Cigar City beer you like, make sure that you get them, you stock your fridge full, and go to that tasting room. If you've never been there off of Spruce, it's an awesome place to go and try all the beers that Cigar City has to offer right from the tap. Cigar City beer, we love them. I love them. I'll have some High Life tonight, just to help me forget about that Bucks loss on Sunday. Thanks to Christian at Headlines Barbershop. I'll be heading there probably next week. I don't know. I really need to go this week, but I kind of want to go next week, so we'll leave that as is. So Christian, Headlines Barbershop, Headlines Barbershop with an app. You can download it and find the location nearest you. B4 is what you drink before you drink to avoid the hangover. And for you Bucks fans, you're going to need a lot of B4 for the rest of the season if they continue to play this way, because you're going to be doing a lot of drinking on Sundays, which means your Monday mornings could be great if you drink B4. But if you don't, they'll be awful. And thanks to each and every one of you. Numbers are through the roof. They keep growing each and every week. You all are spreading the word, which I absolutely love. I promise you, I will continue to be genuine. I will continue to hold nothing back. I will continue to share my opinion. And this will be the podcast for you if they keep going down the path they're going down right now. I promise you that we will stay together. We will stay as close as we've ever been. And we will hope for one thing and one thing alone: for our team to win. But until then, we will go right back into this. The words of the Godfather, Dirk Cutter himself. But we had a little change. I believe it was Jordan who made the adjustment. And thus, we will end with this. Speak softly and continue to play defense softly as well. Good night. Good luck. Nailed it.
Stand up and shout!
BUCCAA! PERFECT!
Cobra.